I'm Sam Davis, and I'm joined across the mic, as always, by Cameron Cox.
Hi, you Mr. Robot. That's fine. It's okay. I don't judge you.
That's good. I'm glad. This week, we're going to talk about some organized play, kind of go from where it's come from and take a look at what's actually happening with organized play now. And joining us, we've got a special guest, at MechaLink on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you do it.
Beep, beep. I'm a robot.
You're less of a robot than Sam is.
Yeah, okay. I basically always sound like a robot. I don't know why. I think it's just my voice. We don't have this problem on Planeswalker Asylum. I sound like a real person there.
Do you?
Well, I sound like someone impersonating a real person, at least.
Well, good for you. I'm excited. I should probably try the Google Hangouts.
Yeah, probably. We're
okay.
All sorts of things. Anyway,
we'll try that next week.
So now, organized play is kind of a thing we've harped on in the past on Twincast here, and we think there should be some serious overhauls to organized play. And honestly, we may not have always done explaining why or what exactly it's failing. But luckily, our guest, he's got some pretty good ideas about this.
Mm-hmm. I've been interested in kind of organized play and its structure ever since I really started, since it came into play and since I started grinding GPs more or less. I started more or less in season two of Planeswalker Points, actually flying to GPs. I was lucky enough to have more money than sense. As
good.
It were.
Yeah.
But
that's really what it takes at this juncture.
It takes more money than sense. Yep. So that's, you know, that's kind of where I came into it.
What made you interested in the organized play structure? Like, me personally, I'm a businessman, so just analyzing all this type of stuff is what I enjoy. But for you, I mean, what do you...
Right. So, I mean, and in my other life, right, I'm a computer scientist, right?
Unsurprising.
Yeah, unsurprising. So, I mean, I went to an engineering undergrad, right? So I've been very trained in analysis, right? Problem analysis, system analysis, right? So I see organized play as, you know, a system, right? And it's a system I'm interacting with quite a bit.
Yes.
And so in turn, I get to, you know, I look at, you know, the results of the system, you know, and I'm right in the thick of it, right? You know, so, you know, I look at, you know, is what's the system doing? What's the system? And, you know, it's obviously has some emotional attachment to me, given that, you know, I'm out there grinding out three buys season after season, or not grinding out three buys. This was the case in some seasons.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is what got me both interested in the situation, and then, you know, I analyze things as a matter of course, pretty much. I mean, and a lot of Magic players do, you know.
Yeah. So you feel like, well, honestly, from our conversation before the cast, I believe you feel like there are some problems with organized play.
Right.
Yeah. And now, we stopped you before we really got to, do you have a solution or not?
Right. And as I was trying to explain, it's hard to have a solution because from a system design point of view, right, the real question isn't what's the solution, but the first question is what are your goals, right? What are the shared goals? What are we actually trying to achieve?
Correct.
Right. So, I mean, I could provide a system, and it would be an organized play system, and it would probably do some stuff, but does it solve, right, the goals? So it's kind of a place of, you know, analyze the goals and then, you know, analyze the system that figure out the system that does the best job of balancing all of these goals.
So when you look at organized play, you could probably talk to a lot of Magic players and ask them what they think it should be, what the goals of organized play should be.
Right.
Let's all kind of have our input, what we think it should, the end of goals should be. Like, what do you think it should be?
Some of the goals Wizards has put forward and, you know, in general are actually pretty good. I see organized play as a combination of a So organized play does a lot of things for Wizards. And I mean, in one sense, it's their breeder pool for R&D, right?
Okay.
The best players become their R&D, right? So I mean, to some degree, organized play actually supports their R&D structure. To another degree, organized play, right, is designed to, there was that article on Star City a while back about coverage, right? Organized play, to some degree, is designed to, you know, create stars, right, in theory.
Sure.
It's designed to, you know, get people into the game. It's designed, but it all ultimately comes down to, at its base level, that organized play is a reward structure. At its core, right? A reward structure like any game has, right? You know, you play WoW and you get your levels and you get your equipment and you get stuff and get, right? I mean, you play tournaments, sure. you play tournaments, you get rewards, right? You get essentially loyalty rewards. You get, you know, there's, you know, the rewards you get for just being on the game, for just playing the game, then there's rewards you get for doing well. And there's, you know, that's, you know, ultimately, like at its core, this part of organized play is a loyalty system, right? That talks about things like, we have a bunch of, you know, you have people that play Magic. Do they feel rewarded, right? Remember, we used to have a long time ago, even before all of this, there was a program where if you played Magic, they would send you cards, right?
Oh, yes.
I miss those.
Player rewards? So sweet.
The player rewards, those were sweet, right? I mean, that is also a rewards program, right? You play Magic, you know, playing Magic is better, right? The more Magic you play, the more rewards you got. Like, that was literally, you know, as much of a conceptual reward system as Planeswalker points is, except that you actually got stuff out of it. Right?
Yes.
You know? I mean, that's how I, you know, liken the two to a rewards program. But ultimately, like an organized play system, and you look at an organized play system for, you know, for golf, you know, for tennis, for, you know, poker, you know, the goal of the organized play system is to perpetuate itself, right? Mm-hmm. It's to, you know, provide people with aspirational goals like, you know, look, here's the world champion. Look, here's, you know, the highest level tournament. Isn't this awesome? Isn't this cool? Isn't this fun? Don't you want to be here? Don't you want to experience? Isn't this interesting to talk about, right? You know, the kind of, you know, media of it. To kind of, hey, and then you have a path to get there, right? You have, you know, if you do this, you can get there. You know, if you do this, you can get there. If you, you know, if you play hard enough, if you do well, you know, we have a system that if you put in the right inputs, you know, time, effort, skill, quality, you will get out something, right? You will get to a higher level, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
know, okay. And that's,
I mean, and, you know, so you play golf, right? I mean, you play, you know, it's, you imagine it's, you know, or poker play, right? You know, you play poker, you learn how to play poker well, right? You play in a satellite, right? You don't qualify this time, right? You know, playing another satellite, you know, you get to the, you know, you get to a higher table, right? I mean, that's how the World Series of Poker works, right? They have, you know, they have sub-tournaments, satellites that
correct.
Kind of move you up in the structure, right?
Yes.
Increasing your skill gets you rewards, right? By becoming better and trying harder, you get rewarded, and eventually you get, you know, you might get a shot at the bracelet, right? That's you know, and Magic conceptually, right? You know, you play in a PTQ, you play in a GP, maybe you do well, you get to go to the PT, right? That's, you know,
okay.
Same kind of thing, right? But the question that you have to ask is, are you being rewarded? Like, is it
an adequate rewardment for the level of
right, for the level of effort, for, you know, does it support its own system, right? For example, if the World Series of Poker, like, if it was too hard to qualify via satellites, right? If there, or let's say the satellite tournaments had just no payout, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pure qualification, Right. Yeah. So play poker for a long time, you know, congratulations. You get nothing but the ability to play in another poker tournament, right?
Right.
You know, imagine there were like 8 levels of this, right? You know, grind out 8 levels of this, you know, and then maybe you can play in the big tournament, right? That's the kind of thing that would drive people away, right? You play WoW, you know, if you have to do, you know, 6 different quests just to get access to this, you know, this one thing that's, you know, only a temporary upgrade or, you know, again, that's the kind of thing that drives people, you know, away.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
attunements.
but that's the kind of thing that you have to ask when you're designing a reward system as a system designer, right? Magic, and we all know this, the skill that you have does not correspond very well to the rewards that you get out of this system, right? So an example, right? There are 200 PTQs in the world, okay? In the entire
Correct.
World, 200 PTQs, okay?
Every season, yeah.
Every season, 200 PTQs plus, you know, GP quals and whatever, right? So if you imagine the distribution of people at the Pro Tour, right? You know, the highest level of play, right? And Chris Mascioli on Gathering Magic writes an article about this every once in a while. You know, here's the PT, you know, here's the people that qualified by this method. Here's how they did. Here's this is how they did, right? Right. The PTQ system is not putting in players with anywhere near the skill level of, say, the GPs or the pro system, right? I mean, PTQ winners, by and large, do extremely poorly at the PT. Poorly, right?
So my quick question on this. I've always believed PTQs never rewarded anyone. They pretty much was a way to toss a bone to the lower population of Magic. Like, hey, you could win this if your blind luck is, you know, excellent. And then you get to travel somewhere, experience a pro tour, and then never go back.
Well, yeah, like from my perspective here, it feels like PTQs are appealing to the hope of the lowest common denominator Magic player. That, like, by some miracle, you win the PTQ, you top 25 the pro tour, and then you're on the train, and it's all glory and karaoke from there.
right. The quote-unquote dream, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that's definitely what it's appealing to. Right. PTQs, the idea. And you know, similarly, the saying in poker is, you know, a chip in a chair. Right. You know, you have a chip in a chair. You got a chance. Right. You're saying there's a chance. Right.
Exactly.
And that's very, you know, and that's very functional in terms of, you know, convincing people. Right. People, you know, want to believe in that sort of thing.
Yes.
Right. They absolutely do. And a lot of people do see PTQs. I mean, for all of my, you know, relative success and ability, I mean, I was talking with, you know, I've talked with pros before and, you know, that people that have, you know, top 8 at GPs that have played at the Pro Tour. And I said to them once, you know, I top 8 at the GP. I ran pretty hot. And they're like, yes, you have to, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to, right? It's you have to be good and you have to run hot. Or you have,
yes.
Or you can be average and run extremely hot, like Nova hot, right?
Yes, just off the top every time.
Off the top, everything, right? It's possible, but unlikely, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of gets at why OP is such a bad reward system, right? Because like you said, it's you know large parts of it, you know, PTQs, you know, 200, which is over half the slots of a PT go to, did you show up at this tournament that day? Did you draw well enough? You know,
mm-hmm.
Was it your day?
Was it your day, right? Was it your day? Right. So 200 of the slots get, you know, and so we have, you know, a populace that by and large of those 200, you know, the vast majority of them will do awful, right? I mean, they'll try hard. Like, some of them won't try, right? But many of them will try very hard. Like, they'll do legitimate play testing. You know, they'll draft 30 times with their, you know, friends around the table.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they'll do real work. Like, the kind of work that 10 years ago would have been really legit, right? But that's not good enough.
No.
Right? They're not a good enough player. They're not – but that's – right – you know. So, you know, you qualify once, you don't, you know, you don't make it, you fall down, right? You know, that's kind of a thing, right? That happens, and it's interesting. But what would be more interesting would be that you qualify for a mid-level tournament, right?
Oh, God.
Well, so, like, let me – there is something called the JSS, right? The Junior Super Series?
Correct. Yes. I played in those.
Right. Okay. So the JSS was a system whereby basically, you know, younger Magic players that were pretty good, you know, they got to play in tournaments, right, and get rewards, but they weren't necessarily on the Pro Tour, right?
Yeah, I think you had to be, like, 15 or under.
Right, right. It was – I mean, but a lot of JSS players, you know, became, you know, more serious Magic players. Like, JSS alumni have real skills, right, mm-hmm. generally. Yeah. Like, more so than people that didn't get to play in JSS in those time periods, okay. right? That's the kind of thing that Magic doesn't do. Organized play, like, official organized play doesn't do, right?
Yes.
We have the SCG series, right, which is kind
exactly.
of similar.
Thank God.
Thank God. Right, but OP doesn't do anything with it, right? Zero. So if you don't win a PTQ, and if you don't top four a GP, you have no effective interaction with the real, like, PT organized play system. Like, if you can't do one of those two things, you might as well be nobody.
From, I mean, Magic, you are.
From Magic OP's point of view, right, you are. Yeah, you might as well be, because
and
you are.
Even then, like, okay, so our friend Tyler Lyle won Grand Prix San Antonio, and then mm-hmm. top eighted the next Grand Prix, like, the next weekend.
Right.
Obviously, he was running pretty hot. And he is what I would consider to be, like, an above-average player, and he's not on the train.
Right.
And, like, so at that juncture, like, and frankly, to most people, he's still just nobody, and he won a Grand Prix. So it takes a lot to become somebody, I would say.
Right. I mean, I would agree. And you know, it takes a lot. I mean, in part, that's because there's a lot of existing names, and to become somebody requires writing more or less now. Because coverage is not great. Right. Coverage doesn't do a good job of building people up. Like, for example,
yeah.
I mean, using myself as an example, in Portland, right, they kind of monikered me as, like, the modern master, right, because I had top eighted of GP, and I was just crushing people in Portland, right?
Really?
Yeah, yeah, like, that was the reference on coverage was referring to me as a modern master, because I played two modern GPs, and I 9-0'd day one and top eighted Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and then I 9-0'd and just barely missed top eight in Portland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. That's the kind of thing that you would think, oh, you know, that's you know, building up a thing, right?
Well,
right.
I mean, to be fair, that's probably some of the best labeling they've done.
Right, but that's the point. Like, I'm some of the best kind of labeling that they've done, and, like, there was no follow-up. Like, there was no, you know, they, you know, didn't do anything. Like, they didn't touch on me in the Modern Masters GP.
No.
Like, you know, the kind of things you would expect if you were building up – right, a name, right? Wizards OP, uh-huh. Wizards OP, Wizards Coverage doesn't really concern themselves with that.
They don't care. It's too much effort.
It's too much effort, right?
And, that's why they show replays.
Yeah. and that too much effort kind of hits back on a number of things, right?
Oh.
Regards to Wizards. yeah.
Even on this podcast, we do not have enough time for that.
Absolutely. But yeah, like, that's an example of, you know, but your friend is an example, like, you know, you win a GP, you top eight a PT, you know, or you do well at a PT. You said top eight?
Like, you know. No, he top eight at the next Grand Prix also.
Okay, top eight at the next Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
No. He still, I don't believe, has made a day two of a Pro Tour.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so
I mean, but still, I mean, that's a couple of good GP performances, right? I mean, that's
yeah, exactly.
Damn,
it's very
damn,
solid.
That's damn fine work, right? I mean, Seth Mansfield, like, won KP GPKC, right? I mean, do you know who Seth Mansfield is?
Only because I live in Kansas City.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that would do
like,
it.
Like, I know because Cameron knows, and I know somebody else. Like, in the Midwest. We know who these Midwest players are, but that's it.
Uh-huh.
Right. So that's kind of – and that's kind of similarly, I've got sort of semi-regional status, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And, you know, the Omaha, Chicago semi area, like people will recognize me. Like I was at the WMCQ and people were like, oh yeah, you played Living End in Portland. Like, I mean, that's right. But you know, that's kind of as far as it goes, even with really good performances. And, you know, OP doesn't support this. OP doesn't, you know, do anything, and they do nothing to reward you for it either, right? I top eight of the GP. Good luck, kid. You didn't top four. Like,
yeah,
try again.
Exactly.
Right? Right? And there's nothing in the mid-level. There's nothing to make – there's nothing except your own insanity that makes you want to come back and continue trying, right?
Yes.
Like that is what it comes down to, and I mean that's
a side effect of the cardboard crack. It's like, how deep are you?
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, and that leads back to Helene has said specifically, and when they made season two of Planeswalker Points, that they wanted to put an end to the grind, right?
Yeah.
Because of articles like Chris Mascioli's, because of things like the Alice example from the pros on Channel Fireball Open Letter, right?
Yes, mm-hmm.
The idea that you could grind, you know, yourself beyond reasonable monetary and mental limits and get rewarded for it. Right?
Yeah.
And that was the way that Magic wanted to be played. Mm-hmm. Right? So they kind of swept that under the rug, right? They removed the PT reward, but the system is still built exactly like that. Right?
Exactly.
It hasn't changed in 15, yeah. 16,
and
17, 18, 19
and nothing,
years.
And nothing, yeah, exactly. None of this is new. Right.
Like, all these overhauls are just, like, new coats of paint on the same
right.
thing, really.
Yes, exactly. The PTQ system is still – Magic tournaments are still about spiking, ultimately, right?
Mm-hmm.
Magic rewards are top-heavy, spiking-based stuff, right? And I used this example before. Matthias Hunt on, like Avacyn Restored era coverage, right? They were talking about people who had the top five win percentages at the PT, right? Like LSV was on there, right? You know, great. You know, other names. Then Matthias Hunt is in the middle there, right?
Okay.
You know? Now we
sure.
know Matthias. A lot of people know Matthias Hunt from coverage. They don't really know him so much as a pro, right?
Right.
No, he's just some random dirtle.
He's just
on
some
Star City.
Random dirtle who writes on Star City, does coverage, and happens to have the third best lifetime pro tour win percentage. And he's been to a lot of pro tours.
Huh. Like,
Matthias has been to, you know, a ton of pro tours, but that doesn't get him anything. Like,
no.
he actually almost fell off the pro tour this last season, and he had to spike a PTQ to not get off. Like, he was going to lose gold, like, flat out.
Dang.
Could not.
I believe it, though.
Yeah, but and that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about a system that doesn't reward the best players. The best players. Like, if you have a 63% win percentage at the PT, which was like Matthias's, like, that puts you in the top of the class,
mm-hmm.
but you're not good enough to keep gold. Like, you're not good enough to be platinum. You're not good enough to be gold. Like, we're not going to invite you back.
Which is one of the reasons why this game's kind of insane is that you have such a quote unquote low win percentage
mm-hmm.
that, like, because you said 63%, right?
At the
yeah.
PT, right. Yeah.
At a PT, which seems. Like, to us, we understand that's really high.
Right.
But at the same time, that's really low to, like, the average Joe. Like,
yeah.
How is he not winning 75% of his games?
Right. I mean, that Magic is such a high-variance game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, basically, Magic is a game of maximizing your edges. Like,
yes.
Correct.
At all points in time. Like, you have your initial deck configuration. They have their initial deck configuration, right? That sets the percentage of chance you will win the game. Like, right? Like, those two deck configurations, you know, there's a percentage right there, you know, of your chance of winning the game versus their chance of winning the game. And
yeah, like
every,
55-45 or
right,
whatever.
Or whatever, right? You know, and or even the specific ordering of the deck, right, sets the percentage to a specific place. And
yep.
then from that point on, your job is to never lose a percentage point. Like, your job is to find the maximum percentage play at every point, right? That is your job as a Magic player. Maximize
Which,
your percentage. Every
is really season. Difficult. So a
Which
system
is
that doesn't reward,
difficult.
Yeah, systems that don't reward actual like because like there are a lot of games out there that are skill intensive, but I would say like Magic is probably one of the most skill intensive games I've ever interacted with.
Yes.
So for a system to not reward that skill to a reasonable level seems like regardless of the other goals of organized play, that's what I would consider to be like the biggest failing, easily.
Yes, and I have to agree. Like, that's when the idea of organized play, and like I said, Helene has said specifically that the goal of organized play is to foster high-level play, like to get the best in the world to play Magic in front of other people and together, right, to show, you know, to play this magnificent game, right, to, you know, kind of like how, you know, the World Series is, you know, that the ballet of baseball, right, the beautiful game, right? That's what competitive games are about. They're about raising, you know, they're about showing the highest level players performing the highest level of, at the highest levels of their capability, right? A master class in playing the game, right? That's what, and you know, plus with variants, right, to add some more excitement.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
You know, but it just, that is the kind of ecstatic height of Magic, right? Those are the moments where, you know, you have masterful plays, you know, and then, you know, somebody top deck and somebody top deck back, and then somebody doesn't top deck and they're barely hanging on. And, you know, that's the ebb and flow of that is what Magic tries to create at the at the highest levels. But to do that, you have to reward your best players, right? You can't just because they have a good stable of like 50 pros, right? I mean, they can always, you know, they can always go back to that well, right? They can always go back to the pro. They can always create those things, right? But the Pro Tour, the PTQ system is their, you know, junior leagues, right? You need people to continue playing in the PTQs that have quality, right? You need to give people a reason to play at those levels, right? You need to reward the people that do well, right?
So in order to reward people at all levels, because obviously the people who are really, really good at the game get rewarded. The top,
right,
that 10, 15 people, like, they're not a problem.
The top so many people in the world are, you know, they're platinum, right? They get appearance fees for going to GPs. They get, you know, extra fees for going to PTs, right? They get the rewards, like, they're at the top. You know, gold, you know, doesn't really get all that much. They get 3 buys and they get to go to each PT, but they have to pay their own way.
Right.
That sucks, but whatever. Still, you get to go to the PT, right?
Uh-huh.
But like I said, you know, once you're below that, you know, you don't, you know, the Magic system doesn't support you.
Right? Yeah, like
Silver is a joke of a level.
Silver is a joke of a level, right?
It doesn't exist.
Right. It got better because Silver now gives you an extra PT qual.
Yeah.
Yes.
On accident,
but it's still more or less, you know, a non-level. Like, Silver as a level is really just an extra PT qual. Like, if you got Silver, what you're saying is, I got 2 quals instead of 1.
Yeah.
So you get all the Silver people, and then you have everyone below them trying to fight for the first qualification.
Right.
And then, it's, you know, the game of Magic's been growing substantially. Now you get PTQs that are larger and larger every season, it seems like. And, you know, 168 was the largest one in Kansas City in a long time that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stuck there thinking, all right, cool, 168, that should be mean a better support for that PTQ. And I went 6-2, got 16th, and got 6 packs.
Yeah.
It's like, where's the support there that makes me want to come back, improve my game, and fight for better prizes?
Right. And, you know, not just – and that's a good point too. Like, there's not just the support in terms of an organized play, like, you know, come back, you know we'll make it a little easier for you to come back. But even just the rewards at the level, at right, you know, you top aided. Here's a box, right? Here's $100.
Yeah.
Right? $100 shiny dollars for, you know, winning a bunch of weighted coin flips and playing really well, right? I mean
– Exactly.
Like, that is, you know, and – you know, that's really kind of insane. Like, that Magic, you know, that OP doesn't provide more support at those levels, right? They leave it up to the stores, they say, right?
Which has always been a problem.
Which has always been a problem, right? OP, you know, and again, that's the kind of, you know, that kind of figures back into, you know, Magic as, as hobby, like, as coming from the role-playing community, as coming from the D&D community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming from the hobbyist community, right, that it came from, right? That's very, you know, that's how that community works. You have local game stores, they do things their own way. You don't really get in the way. You just try and make sure that, you know, they keep doing it. And you rely on, you know, your slightly unbalanced loyal fans. Right?
We are pretty unbalanced.
I say that with love. Myself and others, because like you have, you know, you look at things like, you know, going to a bunch, you know, going to PTQ, spending a day, you know, doing, you know, putting in that kind of effort. You know, I went to talk to somebody that said, yeah, I went, you know, did that, you know, how long did that take? 8 hours. That's a whole work day. I'm like, yeah, you know, if, you, mm-hmm. know, but, you know, it's fun, but it's real time. And that's, you know, exactly what kind of, that's part of what sparked Kibler's MTGO rant too.
Oh,
right?
Goodness,
yeah. Oh yeah. Like, I feel like that's another podcast as well.
That's another podcast as well, but like at the core of his complaint was that was time, right?
Yes.
And we all have a myriad of options that we can do with our time. Like we have infinite ways we can spend our time. We could spend $10 and watch a movie for 2 hours. Or we could draft for $15, you know, and be out and around. Right?
Yeah. Magic's unforgiving when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Magic's unforgiving when it comes to that.
I mean, the opportunity cost to play Magic is high, I would say.
Yes, the opportunity cost is extremely high. Exactly. You know, and, you know, that's the kind of thing where, you know, when Magic, as it wants to grow, is going to have to deal with the fact that Magic takes a lot of time to play and is very high variance, right? To get people to come back, like at some point, there's going to be a competitor for people's time and energy that's good enough to break Magic, right?
Well, and that's the thing is like we're seeing these competitors crop up.
Yeah, we're starting to see it.
From WoW, like Hearthstone is a serious competitor.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe like once Soulforge gets like all put together, that will be a serious competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's from Brian Kibler.
Right. That's
but, yeah. So, like, these things are already kind of here. And
right. I mean, in some senses, the purely digital CCGs can't compete completely.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
But they can do some serious damage. Right.
Yes.
Quote unquote damage, yeah.
It's not like they have to compete against Modo, because that's not even real.
Right. Thing. Competing against Modo is cake. It's that the paper tournament experience is possibly the thing that Magic has going for it because of its outgrowth of being a hobby game.
Yes.
That it could leverage into a tournament structure. Like it's like golf as an organized tournament structure would really be awful if there weren't a whole lot of golf courses around, right? Can you imagine golf as a tournament structure if, you know, you had to drive an hour to the golf course every time you wanted to tournament, and then, you know, thank you. Like, it's golf would be ridiculous. And, like, you have to practice. Like, you have to go there, too. Like,
I mean, yeah.
That would be nuts, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's having a base like Magic does is a huge advantage in terms of bringing people in. Like, Magic is sold in stores, right? You know, in Target. Like, you go to Target and get Magic cards. My little brother, you know, is kind of a newbie Magic player, and he doesn't live near me, or I'd get him better faster. But, you know, my mom asked, you know, where can I get a Magic card? So, like, you can go to Target and get some Magic cards, right? You can get them, you know, while you're out shopping.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that's a huge advantage for Magic. But it's not one that will persist through, you know, the eventual development of other things. Like, there will be other better games. There will be games that allow human interaction at the level at which Magic, you know, will no longer be the superior option, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's an inevitability. The question is, ultimately, will Magic be ready for it or won't it? And I want Magic to be ready for it.
Like, I mean, it'd be great if it was.
Right. I don't think – it's certainly not what they're trying to do. It's not what they're thinking about.
No.
But it's what I want. Like, I really – Magic as a game is unreal. And part of that is the work that R&D does on it. Like
– yeah, the development and design teams don't touch. They're fine. They work well.
R&D And but that's an exact example. And so this week we touched on the idea of people kind of not putting in the work. Arendt is the exact opposite of that. Mark Rosewater puts out a column every week talking about these are the structures and ideas that we use to manage complexity, to manage ideas, to help people play a better game, right? There is so much theory in those articles. Like, there is enough theory to teach an entire, you know, degree in game design.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, you could probably write a doctoral thesis on it.
I'm sure people have.
I wouldn't be surprised. But that is, like, R&D is a masterclass in game design. Riot Games, you know, I mean, they put out a good game, right, with League of Legends. Yeah. But if you told Riot Games that they weren't allowed to do anything but turn on and off characters and abilities, like, that was their entire ability to interact with the game, they'd be like, what? Are you nuts? How are we going to have a development cycle that works like that? How are we going to deal with things that are broken? We put all these resources into this card, into this character, and it's broken. Mm-hmm. We have to disable that? Like, that's unreal. The amount of perfectionism that goes into Magic development, like, the amount of quality that goes into every single Magic card nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely necessary.
Is necessary, but it is unreal. Like, there is almost nothing. There are very few things in the world that are as architected as well as Magic R&D architects, Magic sets. Like, for all of their problems, there are very few things that are that well architected. And most of them are things like bridges.
Yes.
Like, that are actually engineered and architected. And, like, and they've Magic has done this, you know, more or less from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, they created it and they built it up. Like,
that is
an unreal amount of focus. But then you have all these things like organized play, like
everything.
Like everything else.
Everything else they do
is hobbyist, is small time, you know, Adrienne on Twitter mentioned Dreamtime Divine. She's more focused on a very radical model of OP, a more, you know, coach based model. Imagine organized play where, you know, instead of team events being three people, they're four people, for example, three people and a coach, right?
Uh-huh.
For example, you know, something that's a little less about, you know, competitive one on one grinding, but is more, you know, team based. Right. Anyway, but she has she made a comment, specifically about this fact that Magic is small time when it comes to this in terms of what it does. It's just kind of crazy. And you look at things like, look at D3, right? Blizzard's had D3. It had an auction house, right? It had real money trading, right? It had, you know, it has all of these system components, right, that can handle, you know, multiple times the amount of people that Modo can, right? multiple times the amount of transactions and money and everything that Modo does.
Right? It's all because Modo was developed by hobbyists.
Right. Modo is a program that is developed and maintained by hobbyists. And I remember what I was going to do with Dreamtime Divine now. Dreamtime Divine said, WotC says they can't train judges themselves because they don't, right?
No.
They said that because it would be too hard to train 4,000 people. 4,000 people.
Yeah. The judge program's a joke.
The judge program's a joke, I mean, in that sense. Like, I've been judges try very hard, right?
Yes.
They love the game. They're hobbyists, right? They're very professional hobbyists.
Of course.
But the program itself, you know, is basically a bunch of they get together and they talk about things, and, you know, they try and, you know, come to a rough group consensus amongst themselves on how to deal with all of these issues. But, like, when things are complex, like Ricky's article this last week, you know, talking about, you know, how do you deal with minor unsporting conduct, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about how it's so hard to tell somebody that's being a jerk, sorry, you're being a jerk, that's a warning. Like, how hard it is for them. Like, that should be basic training, right?
I agree. It happened I watched it happen at the PTQ on Saturday, where my friend was playing an opponent who pretty much was like, he was playing with the unsleeved deck,
mm-hmm.
and the cards were flip-flop both ways, so they were upside down.
Right,
so they're marked.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And so while he was shuffling, he realized this, and so he started flipping all of them back together, and his opponent immediately threatens him. He goes, if we're at our game shop, you get a black eye.
What?
Yeah, so that happened, and then another threat happens during the game, and they call the judge over. He calls the judge over after that one, because he was being nice the first time.
Right.
And he doesn't get anything. He gets a warning.
Yeah, no, that's not a warning.
No.
But that's exactly it. Like, dealing with things like unsporting conduct, you know, making a game presence, making a game, like, making it a place that you want to be, as Ricky said in the article, right?
Yeah.
That's core to the judge program. And they're not even trying.
It's like, core to the organized play program.
Yeah, it's core to organized
play.
They don't know what
they're doing.
And they're not doing it, right? And I'm going to quote Scrubs because I'm an awful person, right? there's an episode of Scrubs where Dr. Cox is kind of meandering, like he's having an existential crisis.
Right? Exactly.
And all of the other random people are doing their random things. And he's standing in front of the classroom of them and they're all fucking around, right? They're just, you know, doing whatever the hell they're doing. And he just basically glares at them and stomps his foot and says, thank you for reminding me why I'm so angry at you all. Your rank amateurism that you walk in here every day. Like, that's exactly how I feel about Magic. Everything but R&D, right? They go,
yes.
Like, they walk in and they, you know, they're running, you know, except for poker – right, this is the only other card game, like real card game, that's, you know, swinging around right now. Like WotC,
yes.
like WoW isn't, you know,
not much anymore.
No. Versus is dead, right? You know, this is
like,
the only real paper
Pokemon
card game.
Pokemon World was popular, but still, mm-hmm. like Star City gets more viewers than Pokemon World's coverage did. So,
that's at. This is the only they should be the professionals. Like they should be the big adults in the room.
Yes.
And they walk in with nothing but rank amateurism. Every single
it
infuriates me.
What you're describing
mm-hmm.
is the very core of pretty much everything we have said on TwinCast.
Right.
Every single episode all the way through is just like, we love Wizards of the Coast because they make an amazing game and they do it so well.
Yeah, yeah. Magic
but
is an unreal game.
Anything
oh,
else they do so poorly that I am shocked they are still a company.
Right.
Like, it is constantly surprising to me.
They're 4 to 5 years behind where they should be and everything.
Except for R&D, where they're 30
yes.
years ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that yeah, their R&D process is unreal and everything else is bad. And that's exactly it. And it infuriates me so many levels. It infuriates me because I have become this person that is compelled. Like, I love going to GPs. Like
mm-hmm.
I enjoy playing Magic, right? I've become, you know, emotionally attached to this game, and all the people that are getting paid to be attached to this game, they are literally being paid money to interact with this game, and
which thank God they're good people. Like the people who are at the top, if they weren't good people, oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. They're very nice people. They're very enthusiastic people, but they don't have the training, or they don't have the knowledge, they don't have the funding, or something is wrong. Like there's just has to be something wrong, because we've seen other people can do this. Blizzard can make these systems. Riot made these systems. Like,
mm-hmm.
I work at a company right now where we sell tools on the internet, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a 50-person shop with 7 coders, right? We sell tools on the internet, like, all over the country. Like, this happens, right? It's the kind of thing where you stare at it and you just go, this cannot be. Like, this situation just boggles the mind and senses.
Yeah. I think Cameron and I agree with you all the way down.
Right.
And frankly, I feel kind of like Mark Rosewater here where honestly we've gotten to work, and there's still so much that we've got to talk about, I feel like, on this podcast. And this is like a perfect stopping point for us for this week. But clearly you have a lot to say about this, and I think this is definitely something our listeners are interested in.
Okay.
So why not for today we table everything else, we go ahead and sign off, and then we'll get you back as soon as we can.
Well, I want to do one small thing. Before the podcast, we touched on I kind of started laying out an overview of like the entire thing. Yes. For listener purposes, let me do a very brief. I can keep it brief. Let's briefly touch on, we've done a lot of kind of semi-opinionated, example-based, gut feeling, how the system is broken stuff. I want to lay out just a little bit of how, why not only does it feel broken, but by Wizards' own standards, it's broken.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's excellent.
Okay, so let's just touch on this for a short bit, right? So Wizards, organized play, Wizards, when they put out the Planeswalker point system, they laid down a few goals for the Planeswalker point system, and one of them was the classic, playing is good, winning is better. The quote from Mike Turrian was, the biggest advantage of Planeswalker points is that it always rewards you for playing Magic, because the old ELO system didn't. The old ELO system had problems. It's true. And then, Helene, as her part revealing, organized play at the Pro Tour level, Pro Tour has one goal. Foster high-level play, reward the best players in the world. Premier play has to be a source of aspiration for millions of Magic players around the world. Our intent for the Pro Tour is to ensure that top-performing players are guaranteed Pro Tour invitations without the need to re-qualify for every event, and to put an end to the grind of Season 1, right? The degenerate season, right? Those are the goals that Wizards has given us, right?
And these aren't, goals that are up for a lot of interpretation. These are pretty,
solid, concrete things. Exactly. Those are pretty clear goals, right? Wizards laid out, these are the things that we want to do with our systems. Right. Like I mentioned, Turrian laid out some goals with Planeswalker points that I didn't delve into, but the one of them, the five of them were legitimacy, retroactivity, simplicity, achievement, and fun. Right. And, some of those are very related to the rollout, like retroactivity. Right. They didn't want to, say, oh, well, restart. Everybody has zero Planeswalker points. Right.
Yeah. So
that would be awful. Right. But legitimacy is the goal that I feel most falls apart. And Turrian's definition of legitimacy is Magic R&D work with the organized play team to analyze prospective systems and ensure that the one we ended up with rewards play skill and incentivizes the tournament behavior Magic fans have come to expect. Now, remember, they said this before Season 1 when they fucked it all up.
Yeah, right? It was just terrible.
Right. They screwed up Season 1 hard, but this was their goal, right? Okay. Right. This was what they worked with organized play. They came up with this system, and it just didn't work, right? So, but you look at it and you say, okay, so Planeswalker points, rewards play skills. I do not believe that there is a statistically significant percentage of Magic players that think Planeswalker points reward play skills.
No.
I do not think there is, you could find some people, but I don't think you could find a statistically significant percentage. Like, if you poll 3,000 people, it would be 1% maybe plus or minus, right? Plus or minus 1%, right? Would be the kind of thing you'd get out of it. Right?
Planeswalker points is like a badge of honor.
Planeswalker points happen. They happen because you play Magic, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which was that's part of what they want, right? They want you to be rewarded a little for playing Magic, but it certainly doesn't reward play skill, right?
No.
That's one of Wizards' goals. They wanted Planeswalker points to reward play skill, and it doesn't, right? And then incentivize the tournament behavior Magic fans have come to expect. Now, this is a complicated, right? That's kind of, what do Magic players expect, right? And so there's kind of code for two things. And if you disagree with these things, tell me and we can talk about them next week, right?
Okay.
But the two things that I think are core to incentivizing tournament behavior, letting people play Magic rather than punishing them for it, right? This is the problem of ELO, where you sat on your rating so you could get GP buys, Right. Yes. That was the tournament behavior that Magic players want to incentivize is playing Magic. You know, you want to go to a tournament, you don't have to go, oh, what about, you know, it'll be bad for my game, it'll be bad for my Magic, it'll be, you know, it'll make it harder for me to be a good Magic player. No, you get to go to play Magic. Yes. Okay? That's, you know, that is, you know, the kind of thing that, you know, letting people play Magic rather than punish them. And, you know, and that part works, right? That makes sense. That's the kind of thing, you know? And then the other side of it is, you know, people expect to be rewarded when good players expect to be rewarded for their play skill, for how they do at these tournaments, right?
Agree, yes.
Right. I mean, that's what people expect. Like, you're a good player, you go to a tournament, like, you don't win every tournament, but in general, right, you're gonna, you know, get something out of it, right? You'll get rewarded, right, for playing Magic,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, when you look at the Planeswalker point system, that doesn't happen, right? The best you can get out of Planeswalker points, if you don't go to GPs and PTs, you know, you get a buy at a GP or PT, or a PTQ, or you get buys at GPs. Irrelevant. Right. You know, you get, you know, you play Planeswalker points, you know, you get some buys, you know, if you go to enough GPs, you know, you play a ton of GPs, as I mentioned, like the average kind of day one GP Planeswalker points total is 170. The average day two is 350.
Mm-hmm.
To get three buys, that requires going to like four GPs and then some other playing on the side and day twoing all of them. Right. I mean, is that legitimate? Like,
as far as rewarding me for playing Magic, Player Awards did a much better job.
Yes. I mean, Player Awards were a loyalty program, right, that gave you cards for playing Magic. Like, you racked up so many points, you know, thanks, here's a free card.
It made me want to play in more tournaments because I knew that I could get a greater chance of getting the foil DCI Wasteland.
Right.
Or whatever was coming out that season.
It would give reward. Everybody could get rewards out of it, right? And that's an example of a good rewards programming concept, right? Every, you know, it encourages people to give you repeat business, right? That's, mm-hmm. that's a rewards program. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to kind of lock you in a little, right? So, but you look at that, you know, Planeswalker points don't do that. They don't even come close. Like they barely give you anything. And the amount of effort you have to put in to even get something out of them, if you're a GP grinder, is super high.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even related to your play skill, really. Right? It doesn't fit their definition of legitimacy, right? And then, you know, the high-level play, similarly, right? You look at the high-level play system, you look at things like, you know, top 25-ing, top 25-ing a PT is worth 10 points, right? You need to get gold, you need 35 professional points now, 35 or 40, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to top 25, you know, two or three PTs just to get, you know, no plane flight. You can go to a PT, aren't you lucky? Right. That's insane when the best players in the world have a 63-64% win rating at the PT.
That just doesn't happen.
That's a very real disconnect from how the game actually works.
Right. And that's exactly it. Is Magic OP does not reflect how Magic works. And this was okay when there were so few Magic players. Mm-hmm. That and Magic players were generally so bad that that the best Magic players were simply the only ones that managed to repeat tournaments effectively.
Yeah.
Like at all. So it just became a matter of, like, they rose to the top, right, because the systems were so small. If you're a computer science person, I really liken Magic to a genetic algorithm, right? Because that's really kind of what it's like. Like, you go to a Magic tournament, you know, there's some stuff that happens, and then, like, some of the best of them get selected out, and you get to do another generation, right? It's iterative, you know, process. Right? But now, when there's so many players, when there's so the system doesn't support it, right? And we're not even past the growth phase of Magic, right? This is the beginning. Like, this is just the beginning of Magic's growth, and the system doesn't support future growth. It doesn't support the current people, and that leads to, you know, when people aren't supported, they find other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
right? And that leads to, right, you know, a spiraling of, you know, Magic not growing, or, you know, just there not being any PTQ people, and, like, we just have the same people at the top forever, or all sorts of bad things happen. What I can tell you is that nothing good happens from that, right?
Yes.
I can't tell you exactly what bad happens, but I can tell you nothing good does. It's not like, you know, people decide to stop coming to PTQs, and then Magic is great.
Yeah.
That's like, not how it works.
When people start not interacting with, like, the most base level of, like, actual, you know, pseudo-competitive play, mm-hmm. that's when you really know that, like, Magic has stopped being a thing. Sell right. your cards, go home.
Yeah, like, that's – and that's the kind of thing. Like, you look at – you know, do you really think that there are, you know – like, in the, you know, in the old system – in the old way, it was, like, PTQ grinders, right? People that would go to a bunch of PTQs, right? You know, now it's more, you know, you have the same number of PTQ grinders roughly, but you just have a lot more dead money in each tournament, right? But
yeah.
you need to grow the number of PTQ grinders, right? If you want the system to like, if you want the system to get larger, if you want Magic to get larger, you can't just grow the dead money, so to speak, right? You need to get people that want to play repeatedly. You need to get people that want to become pros, right? That's the whole idea of aspirational, right?
Yes.
And that means that, like, but that's not happening. Like, you're not giving them anything to do that.
Not until Moto gets fixed will that be a possibility.
Yeah. But, so that's kind of where, like, and I, you know, we have more that we can talk about on this.
Absolutely.
That's kind of where I'm going, where we look at the goals that Wizards has laid out. Right? Not even my own goals or your goals or anybody else's goals. Like, you know, this is what the system should be. It's, you know, give out candy mm-hmm. and roses and unicorns. No. This is what Wizards says they want. And then you look at what they're providing and it doesn't match. And that's where you go, okay, what's up, Wizards? Like, you're not... No, Rosewater writes an article every year saying, you know, state of design, right? Here's our goals for the year. Here's how we succeed or fail with last year's goals, right? Here are, like, that – if Magic had a state of OP article or a state of, like, MTGO article, things like that
– it would not be a very good article.
It would be an awful article. Every time it would just be like, yeah, we wanted to reward players for playing Magic. Or, you know, we wanted to reward the best in the world. Well, that guy with 63% win rate at the PT fell off. Oops.
Oh, well, maybe you should have won more.
We didn't invite somebody who top-aided the PT via the PTQ system. Melissa Dotora top-aided mm-hmm. the PT without the PTQ system.
Oh, yeah, I love that, absolutely.
I love that, absolutely, because it shows how broken the system is.
Like, exactly.
Immediately following that, they were like, okay, no more special invites.
No more special invites, right. They knocked
it was
out
like
special...
they were embarrassed that their system doesn't work, and they proved it.
Because it wasn't just Melissa, it was Eric Froelich as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Froelich did it at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? That's the kind of thing where it blows a hole in the entire theory that their system is reasonable or representative or rewards the best players. The people who would top 8 the PT don't get to go because they didn't spike a tournament, right?
And what there's something that's laughable about all this is that when they introduced Planeswalker points, they said they had been working on it for years.
Yes, I know.
So it just kind of proves everything.
It took a whole bunch of gamers one season to totally destroy their alleged years of work and turn it into season 2 of Planeswalker points aren't real.
Yeah. It took no time at all. Like, it was broken within weeks, right? Obviously, right? I mean, people had figured it out so they could then engage in the grind, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was broken
yes.
within weeks when people were like, well, shit, I can qualify for the PT. Let's do this.
Yeah, right? This is the ultimate goal. Why not do it this way where I don't have to practice, I just got to shove myself into it.
And the best part was that was the only time when you playing in a lot of Star City Games events actually could get you qualified for the Pro Tour.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
It was a strange time in Magic.
It was. But that's the kind of thing where Magic's own, like, WotC's own goals, WotC's own mm-hmm. structures say that they're doing it wrong. And they, you know, when you confront them with this, you know, you get nothing. You get flacking. You get, you know, you get things like worth responding to Moto complaints. Well, it's not for you, or, you know, other people like it, or, you know, it's, that's not how it works. That's not.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But yeah, you guys wanted to wrap up and I might've taken a little longer on that kind of, but that kind of points to where we can go in the future in this discussion.
Yes.
I'll say on that note, for next time, we're going to come up with what you believe should be fixed. I have my opinions, and I know it's just ridiculous and everyone just blows it off, but mm-hmm. I think it's mostly because everyone's stuck in the groove.
Right.
That's already been set, so.
Right, I mean, you look at, you know, when I brought this up, you know, I had arguments with people, you know, over Twitter, and they were like, you know, but I love the current PDQ system, or if you're good enough, you'll qualify, quit whining, right?
But I mean, that's actually not true, and I am confident of that.
It's absolutely not true. Like, Melissa Podor is a perfect example. She's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
She can qualify.
Nope.
Yeah.
End of line. Like,
the amount of people I've seen top eight or win their very first PTQ ever should never be right.
Right. Yeah. Like,
additionally, the number of people I've seen consistently top eight and I know are good enough to win and never do is proving to me that, like, mm-hmm. That's not how the system works.
And that's a perfect example. Helene mentioned somebody that they won. They played in their first GP, won it,
mm-hmm.
and top 25 to PT, and now they're on the train. Isn't that the dream? No, that's not the dream. That's the lottery winning psychoticness that you promote, like the idea that you could just walk in and win this thing. No, the dream is for people that play Magic and love Magic and work really hard on their Magic game to make it to the Pro Tour and be on the train and be part of that social group and be part of that interactive group and be covered on coverage. That's the dream, to be a pro, not to spike a few tournaments.
Enjoy your time there and then you're done.
To spike your first tournament, your first GP. Like, that's not the dream. Like, that's – and that's doesn't – and that devalues – like, that devalues everybody else's attempt.
Yeah, to the rest of us, that's the nightmare.
That's
is
the
that
nightmare.
Some random scrub will just crush us for no reason.
Right. That's not the dream. Like, the dream for magicians in general, like, we don't want it to be chess, right? We absolutely do not want it to be chess.
No.
Right?
We like the variance.
We want variance. But we want the system to bubble the best to the top. Like, we want – like, I know players in Omaha who are better than me, right? Not mm-hmm. many, right? But they're mm-hmm. definitely a smidge better than me. And, you know, they don't have a GP top eight.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, shouldn't these people have GP top eights? Like, shouldn't these people have put in the work. They deserve GP top eights. They deserve to go to the Pro Tour more than, you know, once every 4 years. Like, that's
But that's like, how Magic is right now.
By Magic's clear standards, like, they should be getting some sort of reward. Like, that's – somebody – people will always say, you know, you're just mad because you're not getting the rewards. Like, I would be glad to not get the rewards if the system were sane. Like, if you could lay down the principles and the system and say, look, here's how it is. Here's who gets rewarded. Here's the kind of performance you need to put up. You know, these are all the – you know, lay out the system for me. I look at it and go, you're right. I'm not good enough, and that's very reasonable. Right? I need to get better. Right? This system is not that. This system is to the point where I am at. Everybody just tells me, just keep trying. You'll spike one eventually. Right? Where is the impetus to improve there? Where's the drive to get better in that? When everybody's telling you, you're good enough, just spike one. Just, you know, it'll happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Just spike one is not Magic. That's craps.
No. That's exactly it. Like, Magic is not supposed to be, you know, it's not supposed to feel like a lottery. And when it feels like a lottery to everybody, like when everybody feels like it's a lottery, is when Magic will die. Like when everybody realizes that Magic is just a lottery, when Magic is just rolling the dice, you know, when everybody feels like that, whether it's true or not, I mean, that's one of the things that can kill Magic. When people don't feel like they're rewarded for the game anymore, and that could kill. That is one of the things that can kill the game. I don't know when it will happen. I don't even know if it will happen, but that's a risk. Like, just like Complexity in New World Order, right? New World Order was designed to reduce complexity so that magic didn't become too complex and possibly damage or kill the game, right? Mm. OP has the same sort of concerns. The PTQ healthiness, the number of grinders, you know, all of those are things that can kill the game. Mm. And OP... And
whereas you've got the Mark Rosewater here who's, like, you know, locking down New World Order.
Right.
You don't have a Mark Rosewater of organized play.
No.
That, at the very least, that's something we need.
Yes.
Right. I'll be that person.
All right. Well, they that's like a good me. Place to stop. So, Cameron, where can we find you on the interblogs?
You can find me on Twitter at SalomeOU. And, yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
All right. I'm at SamDavisBoyHero. And what about you, sir? Where can we find you?
You can find me as at Mechalink, MECHALINK. It's an old childhood name. Don't try to get me to explain it, at least not now. We've used up enough time.
Fair enough. I'm in the same boat. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Of course, you can always hit up the podcast Twitter at MGGTwinCast, and then also Gmail, Facebook page. It's all down there in the notes. I really don't want to repeat it. But I want to thank everyone for listening, and what is it? It's not even Thanksgiving yet, but it's almost coming up. Hopefully we'll get a couple more before then. So,
yep. All right. All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you
both. Thank you very much.